Peace be to you, brothers and sisters in Christ and the dear Lord Jesus. This morning, we're going to talk about, is grace really all that I need in life? With all of my options, with all the paths I could take, why is it grace is that one thing that I need above all other things, and it truly is enough no matter what I'm facing in life? Judy Vorts, who is a famous children's author, writes this incredible young story about a very young boy named Alexander. And Alexander wakes up and he's not having such a good day. He knows it's going to be a terrible day when he discovers the gum that he was chewing the night before is now stuck in his hair. And it gets worse. When he goes to school, he finds out that his best friend has deserted him, that there's no dessert in his lunch bag. And on top of it all, when he gets home, he discovers that there's lima beans for dinner and kissing on TV. Poor Alexander. It's a terrible, no good, horrible, and say it with me, very bad day. It's a terrible, no good, horrible, very bad day. You ever had one of those? Some of you may be thinking that today is your terrible, no good, horrible, very bad day. Maybe you had it this week or this month. I can almost bet with certainty that you know that feeling because I know it too. There's plenty of days that are terrible, no good, very bad days. It's like when you wake up in the morning and you realize that you have overslept. The alarm is going, bah, 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 and you are sound asleep. And so in the mad rush to get going and get the kids out of the house and off to work, you spill your coffee, not only on yourself, but all over your car. Then you get to work and you realize that you've missed a deadline and your boss starts pulling things on over on more and more and more. And then you get that dreaded phone call, Mr. Murphy, you need to come down to the school. And you realize one of your kids has gotten in trouble. And then you've got practice and games to rush off to. And it's just this terrible, no good, very bad day that's accompanied by the worst migraine ever. You know you're going to have a terrible, no good, very bad day when you get one of those thorns in your finger and in your side. Whether it's real or whether it's another person, it just ruins your day. You know, that's how St. Paul describes his terrible, no good, very bad day. He describes it as being a thorn in the flesh. See, if anyone gets having terrible, no good, very bad days, it's St. Paul. You read his letter, you read his story in the book of Acts, and you'll discover that this is a guy who's been punched in the face, locked in jail, nearly beaten to death by an angry mob, run out of town, shipwrecked, and bitten by a snake. If that doesn't make for a no good, very bad day, I don't know what will. And so in his letter to the Corinthians, Paul says, as he's addressing God, that God has given him this thorn in the flesh, in his side, almost to act like a torment. Now let's break that down for just a moment. He's given a thorn. Now we don't know what his thorn was. We don't know exactly the cause of that thorn or the root of it. Now people have speculated. Some have thought that maybe it was a medical condition, like malaria or a type of disease that Paul was struggling with. Some thought it was maybe an emotional disorder, like maybe Paul was kind of bipolar or schizophrenia, you know, dealing with a little schizophrenia or some kind of emotional disturbance, depression, and he was wrestling with that. Some thought it may have been spiritual temptation, temptations of the flesh, like lust and money and whatever that may be, in Paul's particular case. Or maybe it's just the constant critics in his life, people always dogging him and questioning his authority and questioning his message and questioning his methods. But what the Bible says this is that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, it says that Paul was given this thorn in the flesh. It was literally a messenger of God. It was a messenger, it was given to him by God, but look how he describes it. It's a messenger of Satan, given to him by God. God presented this into his life because for some reason, and we'll get to that in just a moment, but it's a messenger of Satan. It's there to tempt him, to test him, to cause him to want to take his focus and attention off of God. Now you may ask the question, why? Why would God give him a thorn in the flesh? And as a matter of fact, why would God do this to any of us? We're trying to follow Jesus and be the kind of Christian we want to be, and God presents this thorn of flesh into our side, this source of temptation and anxiety and struggle and stress. Why? Well, for Paul, it's very simple. God does not want Paul to become conceited. See, when God saves you by his grace, when he transforms your life, when he invites you into his world and you get to know him, he reveals to you his truth. He brings his blessings upon you. He gives you insight into the world around you. And when that happens, when grace intersects your life, when grace saves you, and when God starts to change you, there's always a danger. And this is the danger. The Bible describes it in this way. Sometimes this revelation of who God is and his knowledge, what happens is sometimes people get puffed up, as the Bible describes, with knowledge. Puffed up meaning I know this and you don't. I'm smarter than you. I'm better than you. Kind of this kind of attitude, a conceitedness. And as he describes it, it sometimes we just start to think of ourselves better than everyone else. I go to church every day. You don't. I read my Bible. You don't. I pray. You don't. I give 10%. You don't. And what happens is we become Christians and we're saved by his grace and we start living the Christian life. There is a real danger to let our knowledge and our actions begin to seep into our spirit. And we start to think we're better than other people. And Paul says, no. God says no to Paul. That's not going to happen to you. You can't in the Christian life start to depend on yourself and not God. And so what God does is he gives this thorn to Paul. And I think he does to us too. And I'm going to show you in just a moment. I think Paul gets this thorn and he begins to have this no good, horrible, terrible, really bad day. But not just one day, not just a couple of days, but a lot of days. Now, if we hit the pause button for just a moment on Paul's story, and if I had a chance to enter into your story and where you're at in life right now, I bet I could identify some thorns. I bet I can identify some thorns in your life. How many of you have experienced a calamity? Maybe of your own making, maybe of somebody else's making, but things have started to fall apart in your world. That's a thorn. How many of you have some hardships that you're going through right now? You know, I think about folks in our congregation who have to take care of an elderly parent, and that's an incredible hardship. I think of other folks who have to take care of disabled or handicapped or challenged children. That's a hardship. Some of you are single parents. That's an incredible hardship. And that's a thorn in your side, and you have to deal with that day after day, and it never goes away. How many of you feel weak right now? Maybe struggling with some depression, anxiety, weakness in your faith. That's a thorn in the side. For some of you, you've gone through that period of insult where people criticize you. Maybe for your faith, maybe for the way that you're handling life, maybe just to be mean and cruel. You have to undergo those insults. And for some of us, maybe not in this context, but in other contexts, we have to undergo daily persecution for being a follower of Christ. And that is that moment that the thorn is in the flesh and it's digging in the side and it's underneath your skin and you want to get out, but you can't. And so what do? Do you do like Paul does? Do you do like what most Christians want to do in this situation? Do you get on your hands and knees and you start to beg and plead to God like Paul? Not once, not twice, but three times. He cries out to God, please Take this away. Please remove the hardship. Please give me strength in the weakness. Please fix the calamity. Please end the persecution. Please, I can't take another insult. And day after day, we plead to God on our hands and knees to fix it. To fix it. But what happens when God says no? And instead of fixing it, He leaves the thorn. He leaves it in our side because He has something else in mind. See, I believe that God lets these thorns stay in our side because He wants us to be completely dependent on Him. Listen to what Paul says. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Let me share it with you. He says, My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. My grace sufficient for you, made perfect in your weakness. Grace. Let's unpack that. We've said over the last couple of weeks that grace is a kindness that God shows to us, even though we don't deserve it, even though we haven't earned it, even though we have no right to it. It's God showing His loving kindness to sinners by saving them from their sin and showing us that unconditional love and acceptance and welcoming us into the family of God. He says it's sufficient. I love that word sufficient. It means all that you need. It's absolutely 100% enough. When you go through these hardships and calamities, persecutions and trying times, meltdowns and depression and life change, God says that in those moments, My grace is absolutely enough for you. And I want you to trust that. I want you to believe that. I want you to stop turning to other things. See, it's real easy in life to seek after things that will make us feel better now. We do it with food. We do it with alcohol. We do it with drugs. We do it with sex. We do it with shopping. We do it with gambling. Any form of addiction. Because we don't think God is enough. And so in that moment, we want to numb the pain. We want to hide from it. And we want some of that instant comfort. But God says no. He says no. Listen, I'm going to leave this here because I want you to believe that My grace is sufficient for you. And here's why. Here's how grace can be sufficient. Here's how grace can be all that I need. And this is it right here. He says, My power in your life is made perfect in weakness. My power. God's power is ultimately shown not in might, not in aggression, not in superiority, but it's shown in weakness. In weakness. We're weak. We're weak in the world. God's power is shown. God's power is seen and felt and experienced in no greater form than when His beloved Son, the suffering servant, Jesus, is beaten, bruised, stripped, and nailed to a tree. The cross, for some, is the ultimate symbol of weakness. But God says in that moment of weakness on the cross, in that act of dying, God's power is made absolutely perfect for us. It's on that cross that the Bible says He who knew no sin became sin for us. So that in doing so, we might have and become the righteousness of God. It's on that cross that the greatest love ever known was shown and demonstrated. It's on that cross that grace was the most evident that it has ever been, as God showed His kindness to sinners who don't deserve it. As He proclaimed the forgiveness of sins for each and every one of us. Therefore, My grace, God says, is sufficient for you, for My power is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul says, if I get that, if I actually get that and I start to believe that and I start to live by that and I start to really understand that grace is the only thing that I need, then no matter what I'm going through, I can be content. I can be content when I am weak, when I'm insulted, when I'm experiencing hardships, when I'm undergoing persecutions, and when calamity comes into my life. For when I am weak, then God makes me strong. Too many of us are trying to live out of our own strength. We're trying to make it on our own effort. And God says, stop. Stop doing that. Let me be your strength when you are weak. Let me give you the courage and strength and capacity when you don't have it in of yourself. That's what God's grace does. When you are weak, He gives you strength. When you are insulted, God affirms His love for you. When you have hardships, God encourages you with His presence. When you are persecuted, God is your place of refuge, your protection, your shelter. And when you experience calamity, God gives you peace. And it's all by His grace. For it is sufficient for you today, tomorrow, and all the way to the end. In Jesus' name, amen.